You ready to be blessed this afternoon? Whole song has it. Our Father, we stand in faith and receive revelation knowledge this afternoon. We behold your Son Jesus as he sees us in him. He is glorified. We are edified. Amen. Hallelujah. Did you learn something in the morning? You sure about that? Sometimes when you hear the word of God, it might be an information you have already, but then you have an explanation in it. I remember Mark Hankin said this to me a few years ago. He said, sometimes when you hear something again, it's not for the information, it's for the explanation. Particularly as a preacher, you can never be tired of hearing the same things, because that's what you are going to keep preaching for the rest of your life. You keep hearing it. And sometimes you may miss out details. I remember one time I was listening to a tape. A teaching I had heard. In fact, I could master what was there a couple of weeks back. And I played a 5-minute part about 15 times. I didn't get what was there. And I thought, do you mean this is what people also go through when they listen to me? Why are you laughing? These are personal musings. Sometimes it's just good to hear again and again. Alright, so in the morning we looked at the fellowship of the Father. Hallelujah. Say, I have the fellowship of the Father. 1 Corinthians 1:9. Remember, so that means what Jesus said in John 14 is fellowship. He will abide with you forever. So the Father did not give us things. The Father gave us the Father. But we find out in the Father the things available unto us. You said that. Jesus said, I'll pray the Father, he will give you another comforter. Now, if you stayed there and you didn't go to 17, where he says, I pray that the glory I had with you, you give unto these ones, verse 20 and 21, that they may be one, even as we are one. That's the same thing he has said in John 14, 16 and 17. Identification. The indwelling of the Father. Hear this now. So I say, does that mean, I hear some questions and I laugh. Does that mean that the Father is not in heaven? Someone asked me that question and I said, that's a very weak question. And then asked, he said, is the Father in you? He said, yes. Is the Father in me? He said, yes. So if you know the Father is in two places, why are you asking that kind of question? Let's go further. 1 Corinthians 1. Some questions are unnecessary. How does the Father being in me, give you a problem that the Father is in heaven? 1 Corinthians 1, in verse 9. God is faithful, hallelujah, by whom you are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. So what is our calling? Don't forget, when we say calling, let me explain what calling is. There's call out. When I say call out, ecclesia, call out. That's the church. But calling is like a pronouncement. Kaleo. To pronounce. That is, we are called. You know, I know we have used the word calling for ministry. But calling in scripture is the announcement, the pronouncement of salvation. What the Father called us. So the Father calls us in the fellowship of his Son. So what he calls us is based on what he gave us in that fellowship. We are called unto that fellowship. Now, in chapter 13, 2 Corinthians 13, he now says, I want you to listen very well. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God. Are there two different things? Same thing. The love of God. Grace. Charis. To bestow without conditions. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some will say, can you imagine what they are now preaching in Nigeria? Grace. And the person has the guts to go back to the pulpit. See, they are preaching grace. Preaching. What should they be preaching? They are preaching grace. So what is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is what the Father gave. How can you blame people for preaching what the Father gave? They would have been happy if you preach demonology. Balanced theology. See, I want to talk about the different kinds of African demons. We will have Yoruba demons. I don't know what that is, but some guys have an epignosis of that, but say demons. See, our story today is on the last day angels that are released to the world to bring wrath. Balanced doctrine. That's balanced doctrine. Well, there must be two sides to a story. God's grace and God's wrath. Yes, balanced. God is good all the time. It depends on the time. So, you have to be balanced. Balance these things. Balance it. Because the moment you say that our sins are forgiven like that, it will lead to problem. So you say our sins can be forgiven, should be forgiven, but that's the balance. Those who try to say things like that are double-minded. It is ignorance and fear that make people think that what God has done requires further amendment. It's double-mindedness. And you see, many people, sometimes you write books and you put out, they won't even listen. You know why? They are afraid that their ignorance will be exposed. So I say, what is all this? On a single scripture. I believe that scripture just says that God will kill you. Why are you going to all kind of explanation, contextual? Leave me alone, it is plain. He's afraid that he's about to find out that what he has believed was a lie. Because if you are truly desirous of knowledge, you will not be tired for explanation. Why are you tired? Say, they just will talk broke grammar. Before you know it now, they quote Greek. They will be quoting the different places where it is used. They say it is here. The context, right? They say it was not in verses, so they say it's not paragraph. They say it's not paragraph. So they say, some guys are just grumblers. You say it's not a paragraph. Oh, I don't know which Bible is a paragraph. All these people. You are only afraid that you have built ministries on lies. But we're not going to keep quiet. Okay, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the love of God. How can you blame people for preaching the love of God? What else should they preach? Balance it. And he says, this is the fellowship of the spirits. Hallelujah. So all believers have the spirit in common. We have a father in common. So we have the spirit in common. It's obvious we don't have dresses in common. Sizes. You have different educational qualifications. We can never be the same in things like that. Not even the clothes we support. I'll be quiet on that. All right. Not on that. But you know what is common to us? Is that fellowship. So he gave us a oneness. So we are one with the Father, and we're also one with one another. When you check our DNA, it's the same thing. As believers, the fellowship of the Spirit. That's our DNA. So sometimes, you know the reason why? Let me tell you this. Do you know the reason why we are exemplary to each other? It's because if you can do it, I can do it. That's why we are examples to the believers. Not to set a standard. No. To show the fellowship. Don't say, that brother, he walks in love. Oh. That brother can forgive. Shut up. It's because we can forgive. That's why that brother can forgive. So we have fellowship. Fellowship. A oneness. And so, what that has made us is that the Spirit is common to us. It's common. Go to Galatians chapter 5. When Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. He mentions joy. He mentions peace. Gentleness. Patience. Galatians 5:22. He mentions long-suffering. Faithfulness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Against what there is no law. What he said there is common to us. It's what the Father has made available. That was what you received when you believed the gospel. Or that's what you became of. That's why he says in verse 25. They that are of Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Therefore, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk. Walk. Now, the word he used, walk, there's the word stoicho in the Greek. It means a pattern, a step, a principle. And it's the one principle, because he was talking about love. Let us walk. Because we have that fellowship. That's why the instructions are for all of us. Because there is a fellowship that makes the obedience possible. The fellowship of the Spirit makes that obedience possible. In Romans chapter 8. Are you in church? Romans chapter 8. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it's not so the law of God, neither can it be. He says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. Hallelujah. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, none of it. I wonder why they put those words together in one verse. Leave that for another day. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God. In chapter 4, Galatians 4, it says the same thing. We have received the Spirit of the Son. The Spirit of the Son. So that means every believer, if we are growing in the Word, we should be having the same character traits. Because what makes your character good is in me. If I see a believer who is a good example, who lives according to the Word, that believer has the same capacity as I do. So we should all have the same character traits. Because we have the same fellowship. And don't forget, what is in the Spirit is who the Father is. And we are born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So there is a fellowship. A supply. There's a supply. Remember, we said that Paul's revelation is the Spirit. Paul's information was not what he saw. Paul's information was not his engagement with Jesus in the 3.5 years, as it were, that the disciples had with Christ. His engagement was with Christ in the Spirit. Remember that. So when Paul picks the letters and is writing to the church, what he's writing about are spiritual truths. writing about? He's writing about spiritual realities. They are not moral instructions or moral suasions. No. They are instructions for men who are in that fellowship. And that's why their letters had a strong emphasis of identification. Identification means identical. That is, the moment I tell you something, you do something. What I told you to do, and you are identical. I'm not setting a standard. No. I am giving to you what is identical to you. Because we live, or better still, we walk in that fellowship. Remember, that fellowship is not what we give God. It's what the Father made available to us. So in Romans chapter 8, where Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation, verse 1, to them that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ, has made them free, or made us free from the law of sin and death. And you need to follow his pattern. Romans chapter 8. I'll just keep a few. In verse 11 or verse 10. If Christ be in you, he says, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Remember, righteousness had been taught in chapter 4 and chapter 3. And chapter 5, as a gift. So, he had expected you had familiarized yourself well with the things he had said in chapter 3, and chapter 4, and chapter 5. So, in this verse, when it says that the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him, verse 11, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, you are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Hear this. He says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Now, obviously, he's not giving you an instruction. Because he has said you are not in the flesh. So he's telling you, if your life was of the flesh, then you shall die. But he said, if you through the Spirit do modify the deeds of the body, you shall live. The body is referring to there's the body of sin. Not the physical body. Because he had mentioned the body of sin in Romans 6:6. So through the Spirit, the body of sin, because when it says, the body of sin was crucified, Romans 6:6. It says mortify. Mortify means to put to death. So by the Spirit within us, we are put to death the old man. Are you following what we're saying here now? By the Spirit within us, we are put to death the old man. It said, if you through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, that's the body of sin, you shall live. And we are alive now. Hallelujah. So verse 13 is a past tense of our salvation. That has a present tense effect. So verse 14. For as many as are taken. That explains 13. How did we modify the deeds of the body? We were led by the Spirit. Are you following that? And you are sons of God. So sons are by the Spirit modified the deeds of the old man. Sons by the Spirit have the gift of righteousness. Sons by the Spirit are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Sons by the Spirit are free from the law of sin and death. Are you there? Can you see that what he's discussing are spiritual realities? They are spiritual realities. What he's discussing here are spiritual realities. Then in verse 15, Romans 8, he says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, hereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are one. Did you see the consistent emphasis on the Spirit? These are spiritual truths. They are not carnal information. Hallelujah. They are spiritual truths. So you must pay attention to the truth of what he's saying. Listen carefully. We said earlier on that he said we will pray. Remember that he said? He said you will pray. Or I pray for you. Ephesians 1:16. That God will grant you the wisdom. Go back to that prayer. Let's see. Ephesians 1:16. Will grant to you, in verse 17 now, what's it again? No, we know we changed it yesterday. It can't be give you the Spirit. What is wisdom? Wisdom, there's insight. So if I say, I want to give you a knowledge of commerce, or wisdom of commerce, that's an insight into commerce. So Paul is saying he will grant you insight of the Spirit. Insight into the spiritual truth, the spiritual reality. Then he calls it revelation, because that's the only way you can see spiritual realities. Apocalypsis. It means to uncover. The knowledge of him. So watch that now. He says the wisdom of the Spirit, insight, that's the word Sophia, insight, which he calls the knowledge of him. That means he has ceased to be in the flesh for us. Are you getting this? The insight into Christ, the knowledge of Christ is insight into the Spirit. Our knowledge of Christ is an insight into the Spirit. Say, the eyes of your understanding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Being enlightened. To be given light. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. And what's the riches of the glory of his inheritance where? In the saints. That was his prayer. What that means is that you will see it first. You have to see it. You must see it. You have to see it. At times when people are arguing with you, take some time to pray for them. Sometimes it's because they had not seen it. I must say this one. The first time I heard that salvation can never be lost, I was scared of the person who said it. I didn't know anything, no. I was still living altars as an animal. And I had to say, bro, we have to pray for that guy. He has been exposed to doctrine of Satan. I didn't know any scripture. I was just skeptical. See, because what he's saying, that's how a man who loses salvation, he will not know because he has been deceived. When Jesus now comes, he will not make it. That guy there is true. The person's name is Otolori. He's probably listening to me. Tosin Otolori, that's his name. He used to tell me then that, don't worry, we'll be so close if the rapture happens. Just, he was holy. He said, just hold my leg. We'll go together. He plays the guitar for the Baptist church now. So I said, that guy has heard devil's doctrine. I didn't pick my Bible to see. But I believe people prayed for. Because sometimes you have to pray for people. They just can't see it. Because these are spiritual realities. It doesn't make sense to someone that you are forgiven. Forever. All this new doctrine. There's a pastor who said this. Do you know the little people in town now? They are called new creation. A pastor of a church. New creation, no? Please, oh, let God deliver us from new creation. A pastor. So you don't laugh at people like that. When you argue with them, you are wicked. You pray. No, I'm not joking. You pray. He has to see it. Look at the disciples. Jesus kept teaching. In fact, when it was done in John 16, you thought they go, yeah, now we know you came from God. They were just boasting. The moment he was arrested, they kept watching. He will do something. This man can't be stoned. How far? They saw that he was crucified. He said, you come down. This guy. He said, it is finished. What's finished? Then he gave up the ghost. Everybody took off. See those guys. They had worked miracles. You would have thought that with the miracles. But someone right on the cross with Jesus. A thief. Suppose a thief. He said, remember me. In other words, he saw Christ raised from the dead. Something all the other guys were grappling with. If they had known he would be raised from the dead, they wouldn't deny him. They wouldn't run away. They'll say, wait there. Say, it's 3 days. Now, just 3 days. Just 3 days. Say, let's go and cool somewhere. We'll come out in 3 days. They ran away. When people came from Sepulchre and said, we saw him, say, you know, I know Mary, you're a woman. You have emotional issues. Because you love him so much. So when you went to that grave, you imagine how you were losing it. They said that. But a guy on the cross. Do you know that? That story must have been told by Jesus. He wanted them to see it. That guy saw what they didn't see. And hundreds of years before, prophets that never saw Jesus saw what those guys couldn't see. Sometimes it's these senses that is our problem. As we keep looking, the more you keep seeing yourself after the flesh, you are moving gradually away from who you really are. I'm who he says I am. The greater one lives inside of me. How often do you affirm that? And you say it so often. I said yesterday, those basic truths are never to be glossed over. Hallelujah. Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am justified by faith. I have peace with God. I'm an heir of God. A joint heir with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Saying that every day. Every day. Many of us struggle to say, I'm the righteousness of God. We struggle. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm the righteousness of God. After a while, it became something we're saying consciously and unconsciously. I remember Brother Aziz told us that he was going to die to self. He said he was going to die. And he said, no, I was going to die. It was this guy's house, Brother Tosin Alaka. He's now called Pastor F.C. Jesus Man. So we said, we're going to die. I said, man of God, you are not dying. Say, I'm going to die. And he slept off. He woke up alive. I said, do you know you are righteous? He said, bro, be careful. I am not righteous. I'm seeking for it. I said, you are righteous. I was very hard on him. Now I see him. He's wearing jeans now and looking good. But Aziz, you are righteous. You need to know what I'm saying. You don't get it, right? So you have to see. You have to pray for people. They need to see it. You pray for them. Because I can tell you that your insight into some of these truths was a function of prayer. Pray. The word of God will grow in our nation in Africa not by fighting people on Facebook and creating debates and tagging them. Don't be a hooligan. Put out the word of God. How many people put out Facebook posts and pray over it? It just is a long read. Read patiently. Did you pray? Moses. Everybody's now musing. Did you pray? Pray! That the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. Pray! It's not by fighting. No. We are not out to win a debate. We shine the light. Hallelujah. Don't be out to win a debate. You can win a debate and what you said was not true. But let's put out the truth. It's the truth that brings persuasion. Put out the truth. Consistently. You pray for people. Paul said, we pray. People need to see it. And what we see is what is written. Look at Ephesians 3. Are you still there? And verse 2. If you have heard of the institution of the grace of God, which is given to me to you, what? How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Hallelujah. So we understand Christ by the Spirit. We read, and I want to just mention this. We read what is revealed. That's what we do. We read what is revealed. And what have we found? We have found fellowship. What the Father has given us. What he has made available. So, as believers, hear this well. We have a fellowship of the Father that is common to all of us. Therefore, based on that, go to 2 Peter chapter 1. I don't know why I skipped that. 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter now uses another phrase. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this you might be partakers of the divine nature. Look at that word partaker. Now, you know, we've been talking about an heir. We said that earlier. Oh, remember that? Inheritance. And we said it's by the fellowship. Now, he uses a term here that is a noun. You might be partakers. That is, you have become partners. Not that you work. Let me explain that. If two of us, two people now, we began a law firm as a lawyer. So we name, we say, Shegun and Jide and Co. Both of us formed it together. We're partners. But the one he uses here is not that we contributed together. He says he has given to us. So the only giver is God. And by, hear this now, please listen now. And by what he has given to us, we have become partners. We did not earn it. This partnership is an inheritance. So we are now partners. From what is available, we're partners with the Father. And we're also partners with one another. So we have a joint ownership, as it were. Allow me to use that term. A joint access. So we now begin to mirror to each other who we are. Hallelujah. We are now partakers. We are now sharers. In the sense of, we are now partners. There's available for us what to be done. In this. So the Father, what it means is this. By using the word here, it means that the Father is working in us. The Father is working with us. The Father is working in us. The Father is working with us because of this partnership. He's working in us and he's working with us. Say, the Father is working in me and he's working with me. Say, he's working in me and he's working with me. Hallelujah. So I am never without partnership. So he didn't just give us the resources. Remember, he is what he gave. And we find in his ability our own ability. And then he doesn't say, okay, let me see what I can do with it. He now works with us. So we have resources. We have help in working with the resources. Hallelujah. So you will see us do things that we couldn't even imagine in the natural. But the Father is working in us. Hallelujah. Because we are partakers, partners of the divine nature. Partners. So there's a common resource, something that is common. Common to me, common to the Father. Salvation is called fellowship with the Father. That is, the Father makes himself common to us. Something common is what anyone can walk into and go out of. Like a public utility. You don't, for example, get to the bus station and you're not a public official. And you sit there like this. So why are you there? So what? I'm taking over. I don't get you arrested because it's for everybody. Like a public utility. Everybody has access to it. So that means there's no exclusivity to this fellowship. It belongs to all of us. So I say, I have this special relationship with God. It's the way I talk to him. There's nothing like that. There is a fellowship. A commonness. That is available to everyone that has believed the gospel. Hallelujah. Hear this now. So, he makes it available to us. Now, I want to talk about something here. And I want you to really listen carefully. That means the Father's delight is my delight. It's not difficult for me to want what the Father wants for why he wants it. You know, I told you, walking in God's plan is not just wanting what God wants, but wanting it for why he wants it. And when we say things that don't think is a height, for the way some people taught holiness, now I must say this, they taught holiness a while back, holiness and living right. A good pastor should teach you to live right. A good pastor should teach you. Because, you know, when you look at the scriptures, we've done all of that study for you. If you want to check your the books we've written. There's holiness as a status. Okay? Who we are in Christ. And there's holiness that is being demonstrated. We explained all that. Now, listen carefully. The challenge with that doctrine was that it was not any different from moral instruction. Be this, be that. And so people began to look at externalities. What you wore, what you didn't wear. Even though in true holiness, you consider what you wear. But what you wear is not the holiness. Are you getting this at all? So that was a doctrine. That was wrong. They were trying to get the result the wrong way. So, there is a fellowship that we have with God that makes us want what he wants while he wants it. He has shared with us his own emotions. He has given to us his own composition that we now have new desires. Hallelujah. Say, I have access to new desires. You have access to it. We now have access to new desires, new delights. Have you found out that when you study the Word of God, and you just create some time, and you study the Word of God so well, maybe you took a retreat, what we call a retreat. Someone say, I don't believe in retreat, I believe in advance. I've heard you. There's some guys, you just keep quiet. Okay, don't retreat. So when Jesus withdrew himself, it was not retreat. It was advancing. Have you found that when you study the Word, you just took time and prayed, and you feasted on the Word, not the one that you are checking scripture, you are doing Facebook and putting on your status, studying. No, you are joking. Hallelujah. Or you are singing to the Lord. I am updating your Instagram. To the Lord, and this is the Lord. But now you dedicated time and you're studying. I'm going to describe when you come out, it's like some things you wanted to do before, you just lose taste for them. You know why? You did not contact something. You only became conscious of your newfound desires. So the more time you spend with this truth, I told you, salvation is not a change of habits, but salvation will change your habits. Changing of habits will be a conscious decision to feed on these spiritual realities. People think that the moment you are born again, because the old things have passed, the old things have become new. I've explained that to you, right? The old things have passed away, the old things have become new. He said it's in the reconciliation God had in his Son. It was very clear. So you are born again, you will still have those habits because you develop the habits. You will now redevelop habits from your nature in Christ. So when you spend those times, you are feasting. It's like you're talking, you're reading about God. But as you're reading about God and his abilities and his spirit, you begin to, it begins to reflect on how you think about yourself. So this is because there is a fellowship. The Father has made it available to us such that when we hear about him, we know our capabilities. A fellowship. And so, I want to talk to you, for example, about the healing ministry of Jesus. You know, a whole lot of times, we have taught the healing ministry of Jesus from the perspective of authority. He just came to show that he has authority over sickness. Well, so, just see sickness, he heals the sick. While that is true, because it takes authority to heal the sick, we know what he did. We want what he did, about what he wanted, but we might not be wanting what he did for why he wanted it. Because to just say he came, he was healing the sick, we were to take away something fundamental. That the incarnation of Christ itself was the love of God in display. It was the love of God. I told you yesterday, God's kingdom is not things. God's kingdom was not to reclaim the estates and nations missing, lost to the Satan, and claim the gold and silver. No. God's kingdom is man. When we say the kingdom of God, were referring to God sitting comfortably in the heart of a man. That's the kingdom of God. Not owning things and taking over presidency of nations. Abba. That's the devil now. God wants to live in the hearts of men. That's his kingdom. So, in this fellowship, look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. Are you learning something here? That's why, okay, people want to stay off sin to make heaven. The right thing, but the wrong reason. And they always fail when you do that. Look at Matthew 9. Yes, Jesus. In verse 36. In verse 35, it says that he went about the cities and villages, searching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. With what? Compassion. You discover that in the fellowship of the Father, a major trait that we got from our Father is compassion. You know, when you have children, they say, ah, that guy, he talks like his father. You know, they say things like that. They say, ah, you know, the way he walks, the way he does this. Now, a major trait that we have in fellowship with the Father is compassion. Watch this now. In Matthew 14:14, he went forth and saw a great multitude, and he was moved with what? Towards them and heal their sick with compassion. In Matthew 15:32. So, compassion, he sent them to preach. Compassion, he healed the sick. Matthew 15:32. I have compassion, he says, on the multitude, because they continue with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. Matthew 20, verse 34. We're going to read everything. Verse 34. And there was this guy was blind. Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. So consistent. We talk a lot about faith, but we forget this. Compassion. Go again to Matthew. Okay, I read that. Luke 7, verse 13. The same. The Lord saw her. He had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Wow. One more. Luke 15, verse 20. This was about the prodigal son story that I told you earlier. The father had compassion on that boy or the son. What is the word compassion? In my study of the word of God, this was so strange because a few words are brought about like this in the Greek language. This word compassion, the root of it is the intestine of a man. Unseen. It's a Greek word, I can just spell it for you. S-P-L-A-G-C-H-N-O-N. Splachonon, something like that. S-P-L-A-G-C-H-N-O-N. This is not the meaning of compassion. This is just where it was taken from. And in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 18, it was the same word used for Judas's bowels that burst out. Everything inside him was burst out as he killed himself. It says, and falling headlong, Acts 1, 18, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels, everything inside, came out. And that word has to do with what is delicately protected. delicate, or call it tender. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 78, that same word, the root word of compassion, which I just spelled for you, in verse 78, says, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us. Luke 1:78. What is tender? Hallelujah. Say, I'm tender hearted. Just like my father. We have that from God. We're just tender. It looks like being emotional, but that's not it. He says, right from inside. So, this is not a drama. Because someone can be feeling very hot inside and it's behaving like it's okay outside. But this is coming from inside. What is really within the person? Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Jesus healed the sick because he cared for them. That was what he did. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It's not to go and show power. Ah, we're going for outreach. Ah, they will see signs and wonders today. Is it they will see or the sick will be healed and they will not be sick again? Or to add to your CV? No. What must motivate you must be to want what the Father wants for the same reason why he wants it. Are you following what I'm saying this afternoon? 2 Corinthians 6. In verse 12. You are not strengthening us, but you are strengthening your own barrels. He's still talking about compassion. Chapter 7, verse 15. And his inward affection is more abundant towards you. He's talking about a believer here, Titus, who shows affection for others. He says, sincere, genuine. Where did Titus get it from? Where does Titus get this from? From the Father. That means you have it too. Jesus came from the Father. He had the same trait. Here we see believers. Look at Philippians 1. You learning something here? Hallelujah. Say, I'm tender. Hallelujah. Philippians 1. Philippians 2:1 first. Philippians 1:8, sorry for that. First one. God is my record. How greatly I long after you. All in the bowels of Christ. Tenderness of Christ. The fellow looks like he's soft. And that's why sometimes you want to pray for the sick and you are crying like you are the one that is sick. That is our nature in Christ. That's how Jesus felt. It's a supernatural thing. You are not walking it up. Hallelujah. When you preach to people so that they will hear the gospel, it's not touch and go. Okay, please give me your attention quickly. I don't have time. Jesus died for your sins. I'll give you 4 scriptures, 2 Greek words. If you believe it, fine. If you don't believe it, you'll be condemned. Is that clear? I'm not giving out that call because it doesn't make sense. But if you have believed it, believe. If you have not believed it, let's go. All right. Just write the names. 4 people saved. Amen. Do it for the reasons why God does it. And you have the capacity to want God, to want what God wants. For the same reason why he wants it. See, I'm in fellowship with the Father. His traits are my traits. Hallelujah. See, to forgive is human. So to forgive is divine. To err is human. Christian is saying it. To err is human. To forgive is divine. To forgive is our nature. Philippians 2:1. Therefore, any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies. We have this, hallelujah. So I have Christ's motivation. I have Christ's motivation. Colossians 3:12. Glory to God. So God gave us new motives. New motivations. This fellowship, we have new motivations. So, to change your motive is not an extra work. It's just accepting who you are in Christ. The moment I accept it, hear me now, the moment I feed on who I am in Christ, my motive for doing things will change. We are not getting new motives. We are only finding out the motives the Father gave us. Hallelujah. See that there? Colossians 3 and verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. This is in our spirit. Hallelujah. That's why Paul writes, Philemon 12. So tenderness is like our internal organ. We're tender. We're affectionate people. We're not people that are, we're not callous. Say, I'm not callous. Oh, say, I'm not callous. I'm tender. Just like my Father. So we have new motives. They are not motives that come when we study. They are motives we discover we have always had when we study. Philemon. Paul now, writing to Philemon. He says to him in verse 12. For I have sent him again, therefore receive him that is my own bowels. Sincerely. In 1 John 3:17, John writes to the believer and he says in verse 17, whoso hath this world's goods and sees his brother have need and shut up, that's what you do, shut up his bowels of compassion. Now, he used bowels of compassion. You know that in the Greek, in the King James, is bowels of compassion, but that's like tautology. Because the bowels there is compassion from him. How dwelleth the love of God in him? So when you don't give, you are shutting out who you are. When you are harsh, when you are callous, you are shutting yourself out of who you are. So we have the Father's desires. Hallelujah. We're not doing this now. So the word compassion, really now, is an active word. I don't have to spell that for you. That is to put it to work. To put it to work. So every time Jesus put compassion to work, the power of God was active. The power of God works with the nature of God. Hallelujah. And we are born again to have genuine love for people. So when I want to lay hands on the sick, that bowel, that motivation overwhelms me. Wow. You've been lying here for how many months? I don't call for cameras. In the name of Jesus. Because compassion makes you tender. The way the Father was. When he sent the Son to die for us, to identify with the person, with the need, we have that desire in us today. Philippians 2:13 says, God is at work in us, both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. Say, the Father is at work in me, both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. So we are not living a drama. No. We're living a genuine life. So we have that capacity. 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 It's a fellowship. We reason like the Father. Hallelujah. We reason like the Father. We act like He does. His motives are our motives. I said His motives are our motives. And the Father is not selfish. So we are not selfish. His motives are our motives. The Father is not selfish. So we are not selfish. We are guided in life by a higher law. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We are not trying to do moral instruction. No, it's not morality. This is divinity. We have the desires of God in us. Say, Lord, I want to have your desire. No. I have your desire. Because we have this fellowship that has supplied to us God's desires. He has supplied to us His motives. So that's why they say to the pure, all things are pure. We are pure. We have pure motives. We have pure desires. What we do when we don't do the word is we shut ourselves from it. Hallelujah. Don't forget, these are spiritual realities. As we study the word, we see them. We look at ourselves. We look at the word. That's who I am. Jesus said, you've heard, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But now I say unto you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Then he didn't say you love them by just saying, I love you, I love you. You put action to it. Bless them that curse you. Bless them that curse you. That is, what he said was love your enemies. Then the others were the explanation. Love your enemy. Don't say, yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I have loved you with the love of the Lord. Whatever you like, you can say in your heart. Say, you will not put it in activity. You will bless them. You will bless them. To speak well. Bless them that curse you. He defines the enemy as those who curse you. Those say, return to sender. Every thought you have in your heart, let it be to you as it unto me. No. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Hallelujah. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Hallelujah. Say, so you'll be like your heavenly Father. Say, I have His desires. So, why we don't sin is not to avoid punishment of hell. It's because we walk in love. If the reason why you avoid sin, call it fornication or stealing, is because you want to protect your salvation, your motives are wrong. God's motives are pure. It's because He loves people. The reason why Jesus did not sin, you know why? Look up, let me tell you now. The reason why He did not sin was because He loved everybody. And when you love everybody, you cannot sin. Because sin is in man's interactions. And Jesus was compassionate. He was sincere. That's why James says, if you bridle your words and you walk in love, you will not offend in anything. The reason why He was without sin was because He was full of love. When a man is full of love, he will not live in sin. So, get those desires, those motives are already yours. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Hallelujah. Paul says, against this, there is no law. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Jesus did not sin because he was full of love, full of grace. His thoughts towards everyone was pure. His words were sincere. His actions were true. There were those who were offended at what he did. They were offended at him, but he did not sin because he loved them. Are you following what we're saying here? There are those who will not offend anybody because they are hypocritical. They are not sincere and they are sinning, even though they've not offended anybody. Who's following this at all? But his motive was pure. He came to this world because of us. He did not come. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Everything he did was for us. So he couldn't sin. Hallelujah. And he has given us the same motives. Just like our Father. We don't live unto ourselves. We have this fellowship. We have this fellowship. He has supplied us these motives, these desires. This supply is from the Father. So right now, glory to God, we are partners. We are partners. You know what he did? In the four Gospels, he came as a man and he displayed his motives. He displayed his desires. Then he rose from the dead and now he's doing the same thing now as the Spirit working in us. He's healing the sick for the same reasons. He's giving to men for the same reasons. He's preaching and he's rebuking men for the same reasons. Hallelujah. Paul calls it unfeigned love, sincere. There's love that is with dissimulation. When you see the person, you act nice. When he's not there, you don't act nice. Jesus suffered more in our absence than in our presence. His love was sincere. The greatest deeds of suffering was 3 days and three nights out of human eye. So he was not hypocritical. What he did behind us, when we weren't there, was much more than what we could see. That is love. Are you still there? And this fellowship is our own now. So we are sincere people. I said we are sincere people. I said we are sincere people. I said we are sincere people. Don't say, I like that brother. He's a very sincere person. Very sincere. That trait is in the family. That guy, he loves to win souls. He's given to winning souls. Ah, that brother is firebrand. What you are describing is in the family. Who's following what I'm saying this evening? Come on. What you are talking about is in the family. That guy can pray. He can pray. He prays for everybody. He prays for the nations. There are some people, though, the way God made them, the way he made them. No, brother. What he's doing is in the family. It's in the family. We have that fellowship. So today, we are now partners. Tell someone besides, say, we are partners. It's the word koinos. That means we are working together. We are working together. We are working together. We partner together. So hear this now. The Father's work in the earth is through the church. I'm about to say something. What the Father doesn't do in the church, never say he did it. If the church cannot crash a car, the Father did not crash a car. The Father walks in the church. When we pray, is the Father prompting his desires through us in the earth? When we preach, is the Father prompting his desires through us? We are not acting to be marked our scripts. No, we are in partnership. I said we are in partnership. We're not doing an exam. So he will come and say, okay, so what? Where have you guys been? Okay, 5 more minutes. 5 more minutes, the end of the age. 5 more minutes. Then he sends some prophets to come and warn you. Okay, I'll give you 10 minutes more. Make sure you write your name and your school number. Your full name and your course lecturer. Ensure you conclude well, oh. And then he says, 5 more minutes. If you write after I say stop, I will tear your paper. Say this one. So the father now wait. He's waiting 20 minutes to the end of the exam. So he sends some people to come to the hall to tell us. Some prophets on television. I'm coming soon. I'm coming soon. What I can see is very bad. It's very, very bad. It's very bad. It's very bad. Is this the church I paid for? It cannot happen like that. But anyway, whether you are ready or not, I'm on my way. And when I come, I'll take the few that can make it. The way I'm seeing it, in Nigeria, it's not likely. But if I go... We speak as though the Father is not partnering with us. He's working in us. He's working through us. Hallelujah. We are partners. So that means I am not walking alone. I am walking based on a supply. The supply is from the Father. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, say I have new desires. Say I have new desires. I have access to the Father's desires, to His plans and purposes. I have access to the Father's motives. I am full of the Father's motives. Hallelujah. We don't pray to be good. We were born good. 2 Corinthians 3. Paul says in verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God who has made us able ministers of the new covenant. Say, I'm an able minister. He says, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter killeth. Let's finish together. But the spirit, stop. The spirit gives. Doesn't demand. The Spirit gives. And as He gave, we become partners. We are partners now. The supply is from the Father. So when He says the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, then He says the fellowship. That means everything I have said, all instructions I have given to you, there is a supply to act on them. There is a supply. That's why all the letters of Paul, let me close from this point. All the letters of Paul, as he's writing off or rounding off, he says the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is with you. That means those instructions are not standards. Those instructions are spirit-enabled actions. The grace of God, the supply of God is with you. Never see the word of God just as an instruction. See it as an expression of that fellowship. Flee from fornication. You know why? Because you are not a fornicator. Lie not to one another. You know why? Because you are not a liar. The instructions are spirit-enabled. Paul is not writing gists. He's writing spiritual realities. We have that capacity. Say, we have that capacity. So when believers are together, why he said we must have one mind? You know why? Because we have the same capacity. So we can have one mind. Everyone can be loving at the same time. Is that possible? Everyone can be kind at the same time. Is that possible? Every one of us can be spiritually minded at the same time.
Because we have that capacity. We're in fellowship with the Father. He lives in us. Hallelujah. He has supplied us. He has supplied us. He has supplied us. Tonight we're going to have a healing meeting where we're going to minister to anyone sick in the body, whether here or far from here. And we trust the power of God to heal the sick. Every camp meeting like that, we have hundreds who testify of healing in their bodies. We're going to have much more tonight in the name of Jesus. So ensure that you prepare your heart. But listen to this. We are supplied by the Spirit. So we have good desires. So I have good desires. I have godly desires. I have godly affection. I don't have ambitious affections. I have God's affection. I have God's desires. Hallelujah. Don't say, I want to be like you. Make my heart to be like yours. No, that's the wrong prayer. Is my eyes of understanding being enlightened that I may know that my heart is like yours. That's the prayer. That's the prayer. That's the prayer. We have his desires. We want what he wants for the same reason why he wants them. We're not preaching to people to be saved. To show we can preach, we're showing them the gospel because we love them. When we lay hands on the blind man, it's because we don't want him to be blind again. We want him to see with his eyes. When we touch the deaf guy, it's not to write a report that says 14 deaf heard in our meetings. No. It's so that they can hear again. That's why Jesus healed the sick despite the fact they didn't see him as the Son of God. But he wanted them well. He wanted them well. That should be the same reasons why you minister to the sick. I just want them well. I don't want them to use drugs anymore. It's not so that they can say, this man is a healing minister. The ministry of the Spirit is working through him. No! I just want the fellow off the bed so he can go to his work. Hallelujah. I want that sister to come back to the service so she can be praying again. That's the reason why we do what we do. And that's why God did what he did. We have his reasons. We have his desires. We have his fellowship. There's an old song we used to sing. The song says, "It's All in Me, It's All in Me." It was composed by a friend of mine, Pastor Tim Griggs in South Africa now. Wonderful song. All in me. It's all in me. He has given to me all that I need. It's all in me. It's all in me. He has given to me all that I need. Do you believe that? Take it again. It's all in me. It's all in me. It's all in me. He has given to me.
He has given to me.
All that I need. It's all in me.
It's all in me.
It's all in me.
It's all in me.
It's all in me. He has given to me.
He has given to me.
All that I need.
All that I need.
I have new desires. It's all in me.
It's all in me.
Fresh reasons to do what I do.
It's all in me.
He has given to me.
He has given to me.
All that I need.
All that I need.
He's all. He has given to me.
He has given to me.
Oh.
All that I need.
So we don't tell the truth so that people will not catch us telling a lie. We tell the truth to people because we love them. That's why God tells the truth. We have His motives. We have His motivation. It's not for us. It's for the person. God sent Christ to die. Not that He will become more Godish. He sent Him to die for you and I. And hereby we perceive the love of God, that He laid down His life for us. We should also lay down our lives for others. The motive has come from God. Why we do right is because it is right, and because we love people. We have God's desires. All that I need, it's all in Thee.